Everybody knows where we'll be this morning? Chapter 6 of Proverbs. I will begin by reading. My son, if you be surety for a friend, if you have stricken your hand with a stranger, you are snared with the words of your mouth, thou art taken with the words of your mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver yourself when you are come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself as a roe from the hand of a hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, and provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest time. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travails, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walks with a froward mouth. He winks with his eyes and speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He sows discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, and a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead you. When thou sleepest, it shall keep you. And when you awake, it shall talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in your heart, neither let her take you with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goes into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he is found, he shall restore sevenfold, and he shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou give many gifts. Well, let's go back and talk about this. Back to the first verse. We know, as I've said prior to this, that Proverbs is not just a book of wisdom. Yes, there is wisdom included in this book. It's not a book of poetry. It's a roadmap to our life. When we stop, slow down, and look intently at this, we find out this is teaching us how to live our lives. And he tells us something here in this first verse of chapter 6. He says, my son, if you be a surety or a guarantee for your friend, or if you have pledged yourself with a stranger, is what it should say, if you've became a guarantee for your friend or pledged yourself with a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. He said, you are snared by the words of your mouth, you are taken by the words of your mouth. What is he telling you here? Someone tell me what he's telling you. You've made a covenant with somebody. He talks about him being a stranger. When you stand up and cover somebody without knowing who that person is, it's not a wise move, is it? So then he gives you instructions. He tells you now, if you've done this, he said, you're in trouble. You are snared. But now, he said, this is how you get out of it. Okay, there's a way to get out of it if you've got yourself snared, okay? Do this now, my son, and deliver yourself when you're coming to the hand of your friend, because you're in his hand now. He's got you. You've guaranteed him. Okay? When you come in the hand of your friend, go humble yourself and do what? Literally, urge him severely. urge him severely to let you go, you know, to get out of it as soon as you can. You don't want to stay in this kind of a binding, to stand a pledge for someone you really don't understand or know. It's difficult even with your family and close friends, isn't it? Give not sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself as a, not roe, but a gazelle, a female deer or gazelle, from the hand of the hunter. How fast does the deer run from the hunter? At all possible speed, don't they? And as a bird from the hand of a fowler. How fast does a bird fly away when you spook it? I mean, is it get away as quick as you possibly can? That's why he's telling you. Okay? Get away from these kind of deals when you... That's why our country's in the position it's in now, because people were guarantees for somebody that shouldn't have been. Wasn't that right? They never had the potential to do anything like that, to make those kind of deals, but someone covered them. Verse 6, he goes on and says, go to the ant, you sluggard. And that sluggard is a lazy person. Okay? He's saying, hey, you lazy people, look at the ant. The ant will teach you what to do in life. How hard does an ant work? From the day that they're conceived and come out of the nest, they're either the queen or else they're slaves, you know, and they just work. And in this life, if you don't work, you're not going to have anything, are you? That's just the way it's set up in the system. So he said, you lazy person, consider her ways or its way of life and be wise. If I consider the ant and I parallel the ant's life to my life, I get up early, I do my job, I accumulate and make provisions for my life later in my life, correct? And then, see, there's nothing wrong with all this. If we do what we're told according to the ant's life, we can be very prosperous. But we have to watch the way that they did it. There's a pattern. Like I said earlier about the patterns, watch the pattern. What's the pattern of the ant? They work constantly. They work diligently. And when cold weather comes or winter, which shows that's the end of life, you know, the winter time, we should be prepared to get through that winter, shouldn't we? And in our lives, if we prepare ourselves, not just naturally for food, God uses that also as a pattern, but it also as a pattern for our spiritual life. Store up the Word of God. Store up the patterns that God has shown us and the right ways of doing things. And when it's all over with, where will we be? We'll be ready for whatever God has for us to do. We'll be prepared, see? So it's always being prepared is what God's trying to teach us. Not necessarily in the physical. We can utilize that also, but it's also in the spiritual. And it says here in verse 7 about this ant, which having no guide, and that literally means a leader, having no officers or a ruler. See, no one really tells the ant, hey, you go this way and you go that way and some of you go the other way. There's no one telling them, are they? They just go do it. By instinct, they go work. They go hunt food. They collect up what they need for the wintertime. They all have their own journey, but for one common goal, right? And each one of us has a journey. They're not the same, but we have a common goal. It's not this building we meet in. It's about what Father wants us to accomplish in life. It's His purposes and His plans that will prevail. And if we just leave everybody alone, see, the church world has tried to make us all be a bunch of overseers and officers and rulers of trying to make somebody do something. You can't make them. A dog will always bark. A cat will always meow. You know, birds fly. Come on. That's the nature God created. And God created us all unique to do unique things. And so we need to leave everybody alone and let them take the course that God has planned for them. God didn't tell us to go out and make everybody do anything. He never gave me a badge and a gun when He called me to preach. I'm just supposed to tell you what it is, and it's everybody's responsibility to take it and digest it and see what happens, you know, how you and God's going to work this out. I can't tell you what God's doing for you. I'm not guilty of doing that. I will not do that because I know it's not my place. God's in you. He'll be able to talk to you. Verse 8, it says, when they don't have all these things, they still prepare their food in the summer and gather their food in the harvest time. See, they still do the things with no one telling them what to do. It's instinct. We should know, I mean, if we got any kind of a brain at all, we got to know wintertime is coming right now with us. We're right in the peak of harvest time. You look at the farmers, they're gathering everything to prepare food for people to get through the winter. See? And in our time of life, we should be looking and saying, hey, it's getting close to harvest time. We should be preparing our lives for the harvest, when God harvests us back to Him, when the first fruit returns to the Father, you know. That's already taking place. So we need to get ourselves in order and see what this ant does. And then he turns back around and talks to the lazy person again. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? There's that lazy person. When will you arise out of your sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber or drowsiness, a little folding of the hands to sleep. See, more people are worried about comfort in the present tense than any preparation in their life. They're worried about what's going on right now. I'm not worried what God's going to do. Most people say, I'm not worried what God's going to do down the road 20 years from now. I'm just wanting to be comfortable right now and have all the pleasures I can in this life. And that seems to be the driving force in the American culture and the world, basically. That's what they call them. We'll get to it when God talks to us. Right before I die, I'll ask God to forgive me. That's what the church says. Yeah. Just so you ask him before you get that last breath, you're covered. See, my book says you are covered. Whether you ask or not, even if you deny him, he can't deny himself because he's within every human being. And verse 11 says, so shall your poverty come as one that travails and your want as an armed man. Let me read that out of the Living Bible. I got it right here. Turn a couple pages. That's chapter 6 right here. 11. It's hard to find in the Living Bible. It doesn't have it separated the same way. There it is. Here it is. Verse 11 of chapter 6 of Proverbs. And as you sleep, poverty creeps upon you like a robber and destroys you. Want attacks you in full armor. Says it pretty good. When you least expect it, that's when it's the strongest about surprise upon you. And you know, any good general makes surprise attacks on his enemy, doesn't he? That's the most effective way to catch you off guard. Huh? Oh, they're being attacked right now because they were asleep with everything going on. That's why this world right now is so many people is being hurt because they weren't awake and watching what was going on. They let somebody do it for them. And that's a good way to get in trouble.
They're all crying about it too.
Yep.
Being lazy.
No preparation for what's coming down the road. Hey. You know, if you don't make any preparation at all, you're going to be in trouble. Just like the ant. The ant knows it'll die if it doesn't have food prepared. It's built into their DNA of ant to work and to store food because they know that's their survival. Verse 12. A naughty person or a wicked man, I should say naughty person or a wicked Adam man, Adamic man, a vain man lives with a perverse mouth. Shouldn't say froward. Froward means perverse or perverted or twisted mouth. So we know that a wicked man has a perverted mouth. He lives speaking perversion at all times. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. What's that trying to tell you? He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. And he teaches with his fingers. What that's trying to tell you? Deception. It's deception. They're trying to deceive you, winking with the eyes, or trying to get you to, the eyes are very deceptive. And speak with his feet, trying to get you to follow what he's doing, and teaching with his fingers, you know, pointing and accusing, and if it's all speaking of deception. Yeah, don't look at me, look somewhere else, you know, get it going on someone else. External, remember, versus internal. Verse 14 goes on and says, frowardness. Again, froward means what? Perverse or perversity, another tense of the word. Perversity is in his what? Mind, not heart, but mind. He devises mischief or evil continually. He sows discord, and that word discord means strife or contention all the time. Absolutely can't trust, and they're always trying to stir it up rather than trying to see people get along. They'd rather see people fight. And I think we all know people like that, don't we?
Like someone's throwing a stick ball in the middle of
the all the time. They're always doing something, never trying to smooth things out, but always trying to stir it up.
Just opposite of peace.
Of peace, absolutely. Opposite of peace. 15. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, And literally that word suddenly there is kind of like what it should be, but the language literally says instantly and unexpectedly. It's not that it's just sudden, but it's unexpected. The intent of unexpected is there. And you know, when you're not expecting something, it's a much bigger shock, isn't it? The next word, suddenly, shouldn't be there. Shall he be broken, and he shall be broken without remedy or cure. There's no cure for it. And see, everybody thinks, and he says, you'll be broken without remedy. There's no cure for it. They're thinking, oh, he's going to go to hell. And that's not what he's saying. He's talking about one man. Who's he talking about? Adam. Who is Adam? The whole of humanity. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that man is but a brute beast. We're a beast that's made to be taken and destroyed. The dust returns to the dust, right? And people think that when he says this, it's talking about the man, the spiritual man's going to be suffering in hell for eternity. That can't be. The spiritual man is returning to God according to this book, isn't it? The thinking of man, the thinking of mankind, you can't remedy. See, God's not trying to save the carnal mind. He's destroying that carnal mind. That tree is being cut down. The tree of life, that's the one that's going to stand. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil has to be cut down. If you try to reason good and evil out of a carnal mind, you see good and God, good and bad. You don't see God. You just see good and bad. But if you look at it from the perspective of the tree of life, you can see that good and bad is necessary. Good and evil is necessary to bring about everything that God does. We have to have a positive and a negative. And people can't see that.
It's bringing out presumptuous
things within us. It's what we need. He's given us exactly what we need. Verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are, it says abomination, it literally should say, are disgusting to his soul, is what it should say. They're disgusting to his soul. I can understand it. A proud look, or proud eyes. People that look down on everybody else. You know what? That's disgusting to me. I don't like to be around people that think they're better than everybody else. Even if they accept me and say, well, you're one of us and we're better than them. I don't even like to be around people like that. I mean, to me, they are disgusting because they think they're superior to someone else. I don't like to be around people like that, period. I don't care if they're my family or anybody else. I don't like to be around people who look like that or act like that. And I know about every family's got them. But I don't like being around them. Only one that knows anything, they got it all under control. A lying tongue, that goes without saying anything, doesn't it? We know what lying is. Lying is an insecurity. Do you realize that? It's kind of giving honor to someone. When you lie to somebody, you're paying them homage of being superior to you. Yeah, but it's not pride. It's giving honor to the person you're lying to. You're saying that person is superior to you. And you're trying to get on their level by making up some kind of lie to get them to accept you. Right? Hands that shed innocent blood. That's disgusting at any time. A mind, not a heart, a mind that devises wicked plans and intentions. That's not cool, is it? Feet that be swift to running to mischief. So it's a lifestyle that's swift in running to evil. So when people live their life to do nothing but just do things to people and be mean and nasty all the time. And I know people that's that way all the time. They're just always that way. They're always nasty and mean. And there's no call for it. Just because I hurt or feel bad doesn't give me the right to be mean and nasty to anybody. The other people around me didn't do it to me. Why am I mad or mean at anybody for anybody else? It's stupid. But that's what people do. They just lash at everybody. Verse 19. A false witness that speaks lies. Lying on someone to get them in trouble. A false witness. Trying to get someone in trouble for no reason. And he that spreads strife, says, sows discord, should say, spread strife among the brethren. Now, rather than trying to unify, they're always trying to separate. And I have this little saying in the front of my Bible that I wrote down that I like, that I use all the time, and once I read it, I've never forgot it. I always go back to it all the time. A lot of times, just as I study, I'll be thinking about it, and I'll go back and just read it. It's just a little short thing. It says, beliefs divide us, but what you know will always unite us. If I know the truth, it'll unite us. But when I just believe something without having a factual foundation underneath it, that always divides people. Always. Verse 20. Now here's an encouragement. My son, keep your father's commandments and reject not the law of your mother. What's it saying? Honor your father and mother. That's saying that father and mother both have a hand in bringing you up, doesn't it? In the natural. In the spiritual, what's it saying? What I've taught you, you and your mother. And who is our mother? The church system. We can see it in the church. They've taught us some things. And if we understand them in the light of understanding, there's some truth there. But see, remember that a long time ago, I think it was before you even came, Lloyd. Don't throw mama from the train. There's a reason for mama to be there. That's why she's here. There's a reason for everything. And I don't agree with where mama's at, and I'm not going to stay where mama's at. I'm going to go on and be with father. Mama's a birthing process. Okay. So we got to realize that mama's there for a reason. We all start with mama, don't we? Every child is born through mama with the assistance of father, right? So we can't get rid of mama. They're both there for a reason. Bind these laws and commandments upon your heart, that's in your mind, right? And tie them about your neck. Literally it says your throat. Now why would it say tie them or bind them around your throat? What's that telling you? What? There you go. What'd you say? Yeah, well, no, it's more the speech thing it's going to. So bind them in your throat. This is your voice box in your throat. So he's saying, as you speak, bind these laws of God, these commandments of God, into your words. So as you speak, everything you say is coming from the source of the Father. See? That's the whole thing. Bind them around your neck. That thing drove me crazy for years until he showed me. I thought I just couldn't come up with anything that made any sense. And I said, I'm stuck here. I give up. Well, the voice box is the big thing, you know. Oh, put it on your mind. Well, your voice box is tied through your brain. You know, they're all tied together.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
So you got it in your mind.
It'll come out your mouth.
Come out your mouth.
Garbage in, garbage out. The word in, the word will come out. Right? If God's in your mind... Sometimes things slip out.
So you gotta have it
yep. Well, see, once he does the transplant on you and takes the old heart out, it's discarded. That tree's chopped down. What can you draw from that? Nothing. It's separated from you, see. But you have to realize that is a done deal, too. See, it's already cut off, but I just didn't realize. If I think that I'm still drawing from that old nature, that means I'm still trying to hang on to that thing, although it's already been severed. And when you hang on to death, it gets kind of stinky, don't it? Okay. And so stinky things happen when you're holding on to that.
Keep focus
on the right thing. Keep your eyes upon Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It'll be all right. That's why I couldn't convince my brother of last night that, you know, it's going to be all right because God's in control. He said, well, I think we need to help him out a little bit. And I said, that's what's got this world in this mess. Because everybody thinks God can't accomplish what he wants. They think you got to help him. I said, for years, Ford said they got a better idea. Where'd that thinking come from? They got a better idea than God? I don't think so. Sorry. He's got the only idea that's correct. The rest of them are just conjecture of mind. Okay, verse 22. When you go, it shall lead you. What are we talking about? It's not an it. And there's three its right there in this verse. And it's really talking about the wisdom of God. And isn't that the Spirit of God? Isn't it? The wisdom of God is the Spirit of God. So when we say, when you go, wisdom or the Spirit shall lead you, correct, or guide you. When you sleep, wisdom or the Spirit shall keep you. And when you awake, wisdom or spirit shall talk with you. Correct? And it doesn't talk, does it? That's the wisdom of God, see? That's the wisdom of God. Those commandments are wisdom. And so wisdom or the Spirit is the ones that talk with you, aren't they? The things that you have in your mind. Don't you converse with your mind every day? Have conversations in your mind? People say, oh no, I never hear voices in my head. Well, you're lying. You know, they're lying. Or either they're insane. And usually when they're insane, they hear all kinds of voices. So they're not telling you the truth. Verse 23, because the commandment is a lamp. And what is a lamp? It's illumination, isn't it? And the law is illumination too, isn't it? And a reproof or chastisement of discipline. And chastisement of discipline are the ways or the road to life. So he's saying that the reproof, the chastisements and the of discipline are the course of life that takes you to life. It's the road that gets you there. Correct? If God doesn't chastise us or correct us, and he said he chastises and corrects those he loves, if he doesn't correct us, are we ever going to change from the carnal way we think? And the obvious answer is no. Okay. So we have to know that that's the way to get to life, is by accepting and receiving what God has for us. Verse 24, he goes on to say, to keep you, and he gives you the way to life, to keep you from the evil woman. What's the evil woman? It's the soulish thinking in our mind. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. See, that's the soul or emotions. He wants to keep you away from that emotional or soulical or soulish side that's in our brain, okay? And I think they say the left and right brain, one's male, one's female. You know, they got gender to the brain, like one side to the other side. And I heard something the other day. Every baby conceived in a womb has a female mind. And then they change as they mature. They can change with what's going on and change it to a male mind. But we still only get half of the brain male. But the females have half male, half female too, so. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 25. Lust not or desire not her beauty in your heart or mind. So don't desire that soulish stuff. You see people living the world in such luxury. Don't covet it. Yeah. If that's what they want out of life, if that's all their life is about, material possessions, you know, I feel sorry for them because they have no peace. They just keep on, never get enough. They just keep piling it up. These billionaires, what good is it? It's like a pile of leaves out there in the yard right now. They got so much of it, it has no value to them. Money has no value to them. All they want to do is be able to outsmart somebody else and gain something from somebody else. And right now, the vultures are circling all over this world on the financial system. The people that's got it all wrapped up, they're going to just take advantage of the poor people that much more. Poor people's always going to be taken advantage of. And I think Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. Right? And believe me, they're doing the best to make sure they're here. The system will see to that. Lest not after a beauty in your heart, neither take her, let her take you with her eyelids. And again, what are the eyelids represent? Her deception, her manipulations. Because by means of a whorish woman, what is that again? It's our soul. A man is brought to a piece of bread. He'll do anything to sustain his life. He'll do anything for that, just enough to sustain him. And bread is the sustenance of life. And the adulteress will hunt for a precious life. There's two words in here for an adulteress. They made it adulteress. It's for a man or a woman. It could be either way, and it is both ways. An adulteress is an unfaithful person, aren't they? And you can be unfaithful as a man or a woman, correct? It doesn't have to be one way or the other. It's both ways. And the adulteress will hunt for the what? So he's saying this soulish mind, this soulish thinking process is always out to destroy the spiritual man, because he's trying to get the throne the spiritual man has set it on. Didn't Paul say we're already seated in heavenly places? Well, guess what that soulish woman, that adulterous woman's trying to do? Trying to dethrone you and take the throne herself. And if we let it happen, whose fault is it? It's ours. We're aware of it. We should know better. To get him off the throne. Yep. So they can take the throne. Absolutely.
Yes. But this is why I have to do it. You know what I'm saying? Instead of listening to God and saying, peace, be still, listen to me.
Absolutely.
You know, keeping that thing in check.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we're changing the little context here in verse 27. He says, can a man take fire in his bosom or his lap and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up? Can one walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goes into his neighbor's wife, whosoever lies with her, shall not be innocent. Now he's trying to tell you, you can't play around with this woman. You can't play around with this soulish way of thinking. I can't play around with my emotions. Like we've heard someone say before, slap that woman in the mouth and tell her to shut up, you know. Because my soul is not, my emotions are not going to dictate my lifestyle. And so many people, you can just look at the, which way is the wind blowing, you can tell which way they're going. Because they're just they're as changeable as the wind is because of their emotions. And what he's telling you is, if you play with this woman, this soulish way of thinking, these soulish emotions, if you play with them, he said, is it possible to take this fire and not get your clothes burned? Is it possible to walk on hot coals, your lifestyle, running on top of this stuff and not get burnt, your feet burned? He's warning you. You've got to separate from this type of a lifestyle, this thinking process, and go to the way of the Lord. If you do, things will be fine. You'll have tough times, but He'll give you the way of escape at all times. He'll take it, and that'll change you the way He wants you to change. And then He says about going into his touching his, or lying with the neighbor's wife, he will not be innocent. But then 30, he goes and says something else that's really, I really think people don't understand. Do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Stealing, God's not saying it's okay to steal. He's saying if a man needs to stay alive, do what you got to do to stay alive. Because he said he wants you a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Not a dead sacrifice, did he? If I'm dead, what can I do for God? How can I change anything in my thinking if I'm dead?
I still see that as a provision God's given.
Yeah. Go ahead, it is a provision. Go ahead and do what you got to do to eat. I'll take care of it.
Not in the perverse thinking of it, but if you come down to that level where there is nothing else.
Do what you got to do to live, to survive. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. So in other words, if you get caught in the act of stealing, you're going to have to repay it. And you shall give all the substance of your house. You know, you might have to go into slavery or something. In that day, they put their families in slavery for stealing. And work it off. But whosoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding, literally lacks mind, lacks heart, okay? Lacks the inner man, doesn't he? He has no connection with the inner man. He that does it destroys his own soul. And the soul is the natural outside state in it. It's not the spirit, is it? The soul is a mixture of flesh and spirit. Verse 33, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach, or literally it should say disgrace, his disgrace shall not be wiped away. His disgrace will not be wiped away. Verse 34, because jealousy enrages, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. When you mess with another man's wife, there's usually a lot of vengeance there, isn't there? It happens. Jealousy will enrage. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though you give many gifts. In other words, you can't buy your way out of it. According to some who think you can buy your way out of a place called purgatory. Don't work. But they got all kinds of ideas, haven't they? And all kinds of those ideas they come up with generally equate to dollars. And if it's in dollars, it's not anything to do with God. God is not interested in money. God doesn't need money. People need money. But you know what? God provides what we need. So we'll let the crooks handle the money bag. It's like God always said, let the thief handle the money bag. He's not worried about it. Because he can produce whatever he wants, can't he?